The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
We created a processor for the generative AI era. And one of the most important parts of it is content token generation. We call it, this format is FP4. Well, that's a lot of computation. 5x, the token generation, 5x the inference capability of Hopper seems like enough. But why stop there? The answer is it's not enough.
Jensen Huang unveiling the new generation of NVIDIA's AI chips yesterday at the company's developers conference. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber, live from Post 9 at the New York Stock Exchange. Jim Cramer is in San Jose, California. He is at NVIDIA's GTC. He's going to have a live and exclusive, it's both, live and exclusive interview with that man right there, Jensen Huang. That'll be in the next hour. And of course, we are very much looking forward to it. Less than an hour from now, in fact, a half hour from now, we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. Let's give you a quick look at futures. We are in the red, so perhaps a lower open when we begin trading. Let's get to our roadmap. It does start, as you might expect, with NVIDIA's potential AI game changer, the company unveiling its latest, more powerful artificial intelligence chips, which CEO Jensen Huang says are twice as powerful for training AI models than the current GPUs. Rate expectations also underway here. The Fed's March meeting kicking off today. The Bank of Japan, by the way, raising interest rates. No longer are they negative in that country. And why Elon Musk thinks investors should want him to keep taking ketamine, saying it's beneficial for Tesla. We start with NVIDIA and the company's new AI chip lineup. There's Jim, and I just throw it over to you. Give me the highlights. You're about an hour or so from sitting down with Jensen Huang. But, you know, Jim, what struck you as most significant? What is most important today that was said yesterday in terms of how NVIDIA trades?
Okay. I think it's very simple. This new Blackwell chip, it's smarter than 100 Fabers. Yep, that's what it looks like. Because basically what he's saying is we're not smart enough. The machines are smarter. David's finally had them. We actually have chips that have learned so much that they have common sense. They can do things that I know you may be concerned about, but I think are major for society, productivity and waste, build factories, sing. I mean, they can do anything. They can paint, but they also make it so the world's a better place. And that's what we're going to be talking about.
All right. Let's get more specific on the Blackwell itself, you know, which, again, he made the point. It's the name of a platform. It's not a chip. First of all, if you can, Jim, explain to people what that means. Get into some detail if you can. I know you, I'm sure you will with Jensen, obviously, during your interview. But sort of give us a sense here as to the leap that's been made.
Sure. I think that you hit on something that's really important, which is it's not just a chip. It is a platform. Now, what does that mean? It means it's filled with software. What does that mean? It's recurring revenue. It's not one-off. You get in their ecosystem. You stay in their ecosystem. There are a lot of people who say this is a defensive move. I say it's an offensive move because what this Blackwell can do is use video, use text, many different languages and understand. So you can imagine it can understand, initially it'll understand between a zebra and a horse. In the end, it will know more about zebras and horses than we do. I have to use an animal kind of imagery because this is something that really, Jensen spent a lot of time talking about how it understands video. And if it understands video, then it can do things that we would desperately need in society, which is like have robots to be able to do a lot of jobs. We need them to have people be able to design things that they've never been able to design before by, yes, David, I'm going to use it, many times mentioned digital twin. A digital twin means that you basically can build anything, do anything with an NVIDIA chip and then actually have it made in real life. Factories, the largest market left. He described it as the final frontier, and yet that's what Blackwell will do better than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to start with you, Jim. You mentioned robots. I know he had a bunch on stage with him, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I've talked about them in the past. Obviously, Tesla's, for example, and what they've been able to do, and how advances are being made in terms of the manipulation of hands, for example. What'd you see up there? What are the expectations? Has that become a real product line in some way?
Well, I caught up with Jensen after yesterday when I saw him later on at an analyst confab. And he told me that there was a green robot and an orange robot. The green robot wanted to hog the show, came up, was very aggressive. The orange robot was recalcitrant, stayed back, actually stubborn, did not do what Jensen wanted. Now, the problem, David, with this is that actually may be true.
You're not making me feel any better. The robots are having personalities of their own and not doing what we want them to do. So we're already there. It's already the Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
Didn't take long.
There was no explanation for why the orange robot hung back other than just a decision to make it so it was not going to obey Jensen. It was the first time he had met the two robots. They didn't know him. He didn't know them. He said this to me. And, David, I know that some of it is tongue-in-cheek, but is there any doubt that you and I can't easily be replaced by the green and the orange robot once they have learned what we talk about? Do you think that we can do better than they can?
I don't know. I do think we will be replaced, or all of our consciousness will be uploaded to the cloud anyway, and then they'll just download us back into some sort of robot.
Right. Well, what's the contract talks?
We're going to be doing this show for a millennium.
What's the contract talks?
Yeah, we'll be doing this forever.
How much do you think the robots cost to talk?
I don't know.
I mean, once they're bought, I would say zero. The cost of ownership of it, of a Faberless anchor, they call them fabless, but it's really Faberless.
Still power. You still got to pay for your electricity or somehow provide, unless maybe they have a little nuclear reactor in them.
Everybody actually hopes, David, it's a great point. The grid is being taxed. 5% a year is growing because of data centers. When you go into a data center, what do you see? Well, you see some super micro racks. Thank you so much for offering 2 million shares to take advantage of being added to the S&P and being up more than 250% for the year. You see some Cadence product. You see some Synopsys product, but it's dominated by NVIDIA. Now, they do not have the Blackwell running. Right now, they're using the H100. The H100 is incredible. But Jensen said over and over again that this iteration is much bigger. One of the things I'm going to talk about him with, he spent some real quality time talking about Apple. And no one talks about Apple. You know, it's like Fight Club. The first rule of Apple is you don't talk about Apple.
Right.
He did. And maybe that shows you, David, that this man that you're seeing actually has more power than anyone out here and can talk about an Apple partnership, which no one else is able to.
Well, listen, he fills an arena now in a way like it's, you know, a religious experience.
But you know what he told me in the end, he said, listen, I'm a computer engineer. It is really hard for me to be who people want. He is not a rock star. He doesn't want to be a rock star. He's a computer engineer that has great partners and is taking advantage of his product. And I think the misunderstanding of the Woodstock AI is just so ill-advised.
All right.
It's not what's happening here.
When
it's
the book
Woodstock.
Is written, when the movie's done, and when we look back and see who was at the center of whatever's going to happen, it's going to be him. He's the central character.
Right. It's not going to be Country Joe and the Fish.
No, it's going to be him. It's not going to be Tim Cook. Maybe it'll be Elon, but it's probably going to be him at this point, especially if it all comes crashing down when the robots
there was no
won't
ketamine
listen to
here.
Us and they basically have their hands on our necks. Jensen's going to be, you know, the star of that movie. I asked him about that.
Will you stop at Skynet already? Stop. I mean, I actually brought you up yesterday when I was speaking to Jensen. I did. I said, look, I got this guy as my partner. He just thinks it's Skynet.
Oh, you're so funny. Listen, I don't know him. I wish I did. I have nothing but incredible respect for everything he's accomplished, and I can't wait for your conversation. I want to ask, we're going to come back to it, but I do power
was that
consumption.
Respect? Did you say incredible respect?
Of course I have. Of course.
Power?
How could you not? Look what he's created.
The power consumption, actually, we talked about that a lot.
Right, because they talk about this being more powerful but consuming less power, but I've seen some confusing things, Jim. You know, originally, I mean, in terms of what they call flops, B-Series has 2.5 times more flops, bandwidth metrics, than current H-Series. Overall has 5 times better flops and 30 times better performance. But then ultimately, we'll still consume more power. Obviously, it's going to, the computing power is way, way, multiples more. But where are we on this? Is it more power for less power?
Okay, I have Prologis. I have Prologis. First of all, David, it's not cal flop. It's a teraflop. Okay. The thing that was really interesting is that Prologis is building these 500 million they built this last quarter.
Yeah.
They go around the country and they find where the cheapest power is. And the power companies are not yet able to do this all over the country. But some are ready. And the grid will be ready by 2030. I know that's a little late. But nuclear is the answer, and we don't build nuclear.
All right. So these Blackwells are going to require ultimately, I mean, it's still going to require a lot more power than we have available right now.
Yes, it will. But I think that, no, that's not true. There are places that can provide the power at a reasonable price. But eventually, yes, they will not. Because if we're growing at 5% a year, this grid that we have is made for growing about 1% a year. Suddenly we have it growing 5% a year, which is just too fast.
Right.
And I think it's a major issue. And waste. So Jensen speaks about waste. He speaks about climate change. He speaks about what this all this power could do to the earth in terms of just making the ocean hotter. I mean, it's all bad.
These are significant concerns. That said, the hope perhaps is that generative AI and or when we get to true artificial general intelligence, that they'll be able to figure it out. Because it'll be smarter than us.
And
so maybe
it'll
see some solution
that we aren't
capable of. Who?
It's not going to be humans that figure it out. It is going to be machines that are trained using inference. You put this question in English. It comes back in English and it has the answer because any one of these Blackwells is smarter than any 1,000 people that you may have at your company. And by the way, if you have 500 people in your company and you need another 500 computer engineers and you can't find them, you plug in a Blackwell.
It's going to be able to do that as well. I mean, obviously, we talk about
ChatGPT
being able to write code at a fairly decent level, and that's been a very important development. But you're saying now it's going to actually be able to design the chip. It's going to design its replacement chip, Blackwell, the Blackwell platform?
Yes, again, see, we're not... I mean, over and over, I mean, I will use the words that Jensen won't because he's a diplomat. We simply aren't smart enough to do what this machine, when it actually has the data, does. That's the real issue. It can do it faster and smarter than we can. So there you might say, wait a second, it can replace us. Jensen comes back and says, no, it's a great productivity device. I'm with Jensen. You got to get right with Jensen. That's it.
Listen, I'm going to be listening to every word he says in your interview, and I hope you get to some of
questions. No, they're $10 million. They're $10 million. It's like Jensen's sitting on a gold mine.
So are our viewers, by the way, if they own their own home. I don't know if you know that, Jim.
Really? David, can I talk about ketamine for a second?
No, you can't.
It's a real drug. What's the problem? Why can't he take it? Johnson & Johnson is ketamine. It's like a regulated gun. What is it? It's not like it has to be disclosed to the SEC.
No.
This guy doesn't even know when he's not in trouble. This Elon.
Can talk about ketamine because Elon Musk did have that interview with Don Lemon. Did talk about his drug use of ketamine, or at least referenced it. We're going to get to that and to some things he said about the Roadster, which may have been more interesting and moved the stocks. Walk on the street. Coming right at you after this.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Elon Musk defending his use of ketamine. It's a medication that many take to treat depression. This is in an interview with Don Lemon that was posted online yesterday. The Tesla CEO suggested that taking the drug has been beneficial for investors in his companies.
Tesla is worth about as much as the rest of the car industry combined from nothing. So, that's pretty good. As I mentioned, we had the best-selling car on Earth last year. So for investor standpoint, if there is something I'm taking, I should keep taking it.
That's what he says, Jim. You pointed out that it is obviously a medication that is widely used. That, you know, the Wall Street Journal's come after him on this, and so not unexpected that it would be at least part of this conversation.
It's actually a shame. Here's a man who admits that he has depression, admits that he takes a drug that has helped millions of people, and for that, he's pilloried. I mean, I think the guy is basically, I know it's hyperbole to say what he did, but I defend him as much as possible because there are many people who would never be brave enough to admit that they take this drug. And yet this drug is a lifesaver. Lifesaver meaning it saved a lot of people from killing themselves.
Yeah. Did not watch the entire interview, but I know, you know, a good amount of it also dealing yet again with many of the issues that Musk and I discussed last May in terms of his need to share his every thought on so many different issues, many divisive issues, and why he does it. But Jim, he did offer some things about the new Roadster, and maybe, I don't know if you have a reason why the stock was up yesterday, but maybe this is one reason, because he did talk about it sort of having some rocketry stuff in there, you know, a combination of Tesla and SpaceX technology to create something that's not even really a car.
Well, he has said over and over again, it's a tech delivery system. Maybe that's what this is. But I think that one of the things that's happened, David, if you speak to Steve Scherr, a now outgoing CEO of Hertz, the used car value of a Tesla actually has gone up in the last month. And that's allowed, that's off on the floor. That's allowed Elon Musk to raise prices. That's something that is counterintuitive to the narrative that we think, but it might be true. David, the writing off of the EV is a little premature. As you and I both know, that we're all going to be driving EVs by 2030. I think that this is the bottom in the stock. I said that last night in Mad Money because I've been waiting for the prices of the used cars to bottom, and they are. So I'm excited about the Roadster. I'm excited about what he's doing. I just think that we need a refresh. There hasn't been a big refresh. This is a big refresh. It does matter tremendously. And no. In your interview, David, let me ask you. I got to ask you about in your interview. Did you detect the importance of his mood in terms of creating this?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, this is one of the most creative, not the most creative person of our era, other than Jensen Huang. And why should we care that he needs a legal substance to be able to create things that you and I can't create?
Yeah, that's a valid question. It's not necessarily one that I even think is really worthwhile of great discussion, to your point. Sadly, there are a lot of people who deal with mental health issues in this country, and you want all of them to get the best treatment they possibly can.
Yeah, I worked with J&J on this to be able to see what it can do for people, and it's remarkable. And I just hope that people recognize from this man that he actually just saved a lot of lives. I don't think he meant to, but he did.
Yeah. As for his continued posting on X and some of the stuff he says there, Yeah. That's a little, it's a little more problematic. It's a little
yeah.
more problematic.
He should revert to Princess Bride is where he should limit all his tweets.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some connections, strangely, with Henry Ford sometimes when you read some of his stuff.
No, don't say that. Don't I say mean, that. That is a very dangerous concept.
That's true.
Go back to the Dearborn paper. Had 27
recently?
Million circulation.
I know. And the Independence, I'm aware of
I've
it.
Read
and obviously the protocols. I know. We all know his history, but it's kind of interesting 100 years later.
Interesting? Interesting.
Yeah,
I've word. Never found genocide interesting.
It's one. Wow. It's one
don't
word
go
to use here.
That's horrible. It's horrible. I hope that's not true.
All right, get your mad dash ready. We'll get back to talking stocks, okay? And by the way, just in case people don't know, Jim is going to have an exclusive with Jensen Huang in the next hour right here on the Squawk on the Street television program.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Let's do it. Another cross-country mad dash. Of course, 2 minutes to the opening bell. Unilever is saying that to accelerate growth, it's the old shrink to grow, Jim. They want to they want to jettison ice cream.
Yeah, it's Breyers, and it's also Klondike, not just Ben and Jerry's. And I want to know, David, as Nelson Peltz did in the boardroom, when are we going to get rid of Knorr, which is the soup, very big business, and then Hellman's right down the block from our world headquarters. When are they going to get rid of those? Why did they just get rid of one part? They're not going to have any food when this is over. They want to be in consumer products, non-food, which is smart, given the fact that we know that there are drugs from Eli Lilly that makes you not interested in Ben and Jerry's.
So you think
Ben and Jerry's
would be
tastes like
off
coal.
Justice, as beauty and well-being, personal care, home care, nutrition, that's it. Get out of food entirely,
yeah, they did,
you think.
They're doing what Procter did, which was very smart. It raised Procter's margins. It also, of course, raised its PE. It's a very smart move. Not, you know, Unilever needs to do this. I question why they didn't do the whole food. What is it? Why did they have to do just one part of the food? What is that about? Nelson Peltz in the boardroom pushed for all of food. But, David, Nelson Peltz, I don't know. I'm sure you have something to say about him later. I got to go see Jensen.
All right. Well, we'll talk about Disney in a little bit later. We are the largest per capita consumer of ice cream, America, in the world, just so you know. Did you hear me, Jim?
Yeah, phenomenal. Wow. Those people really have game.
It's
They're gamers, those people.
Yeah. Very loud here. Opening bells, of course, right now. Take a look at the real-time exchange. So we got more red on the board than we had green. Here at the big board, beauty products company Coty.
Maybe that'll drive the stock price up.
120th anniversary over at the Nasdaq Gentex. That's the supplier of dimmable windows and mirrors to the automotive and aircraft industries. All right, Jim, where do you want to start?
Well, I think we have to start with NVIDIA. Why do we have to start with NVIDIA? Because I think that almost every company that we talk about, whether it be a technology company or a non-technology company, wants to get right with NVIDIA. And the reason is because everything moves faster, smarter. David, this is a whole, it's a do-over of everything we have. You see, I have this computer. You can't talk to it. You have to type things in. Who needs a keyboard when Jensen's done? I think that what we're seeing is that everything that is electric has to go and change. Everything is digitized. Everything has to go and change. And David, anything that can move, a robot moves better than we can. And robots are human-like because everything's been designed to be for humans. So the robots should look like us.
Stop talking about the robots that look like us. That's freaking me out.
Well, no, it makes sense. We can't have robots look like something else because everything's designed for humans. So the robots have to look like humans and be humans.
Robots should look like robots.
But smarter. David, you can teach a robot that coffee is hot, and then the robot can teach you that it's Starbucks, not Pete's.
Hey, if NVIDIA is so great, Jim, then why is the stock down?
Because it's up 80. David, it's been up 80%. Okay, because they're not splitting the stock. I'm going to get a split. That's what I'll do here. I promise I'll get you a split of NVIDIA stock. How's that?
That doesn't mean anything.
I'm going to do a 10 for 1.
Why are you even confusing people as though a split means something of any fundamental value?
Well,
I'm just asking, after the big presentation yesterday and what seems to be very positive developments for the company, obviously headed up by the Blackwell platform, I'm just curious as to your thoughts about the stock being down over 2% as we get started.
I said don't buy the stock. Don't buy the stock around the conference because the conference is not about raising earnings. It's not about forecast beating. It's actually about 10-year thinking. Can you imagine 10-year thinking when we're filled with a room of people who have 10-minute thinking? I mean,
no.
They're trying to build a dynasty. They're not trying to build a good first opening drive. It takes time. The stock anticipated this, but the event itself is not what we're talking. It's just a new way of thinking, okay? It's a way of thinking that's better than what we do. It is not threatening. It's not meant to do anything other than be more productive and smarter, which the world needs. It's going to produce less waste in the end. There's a great, the cost of ownership is lower than what we have, and it's faster, smarter. How can we not want faster, smarter? How do we not want drugs that can be developed in maybe 3 months instead of 3 years, where we have just a short time of patent protection? So therefore, the drug companies don't even attempt to go after hard things. They will go after the hardest illnesses because of this. They shy away. They go on the easy illness, David, because it takes too long. This is the end of that. This is the end of factories that waste so much that we have to question the whole what they do for the planet. It's the end of a lot of ways we think. And it's all positive. It is. It's positive.
Okay.
Say something.
I'm listening to you. I'm thinking about it. And I'm not sure I completely share that, but I'm trying to think of this world you're describing with
productivity.
NVIDIA's
do you think it's positive or negative?
GPUs.
Do you think that the loom? Did you favor the seamstress over the loom?
We're going to have a lot.
Where were you on the steam engine?
We're going to have a lot of. Fulton, I think, is buried right next to Hamilton, isn't it? We're going to have a lot of free time. We're going to have a lot of free time. Sure, what we're going to do with it all.
We will be so much smarter, and we will be helped by, and we can feed it video. It recognizes everything.
We're going to live forever.
And David, it
and
has common sense.
See, that's right.
They have common sense. The robots have common sense. They have common sense. We can teach
when
them
are they
common
gonna
sense, and then they can teach us.
We're not essential. That's when are they going to decide that? Why are we around?
No, we detect. We program them. We tell them whether we're essential or not. They don't tell us if we're essential. They can't tell us
that
we're not essential.
Even when they have intelligence greater than our own?
David, there is no such thing as Soylent Green.
It's people, Jim. It's people.
Could you do Edward G. Robinson for us?
No, I can't do Edward G. Robinson from the Ten Commandments and then put him in Soylent Green. I can't do the same thing. All right, let's move on.
All right.
But
anyway,
stay in the same area.
It's hard to change everything. It's hard to change everything overnight.
You and I will continue until we're replaced by robots, we'll continue talking about the future. But AMD shares are also getting hit down 3%. What you saw yesterday, impact on AMD.
Well, I mean, look, AMD has chips, okay? But you need the package. You have to have thought added to the chips. You can't just send a chip to some company and say, hey, listen, go figure it out. You have to have Jensen's team come, explain to you the software platform, explain to you why it has to be integrated, and AMD doesn't have that. Lisa Su is incredible, and her chips, she will tell you, rival the speed of the H100, but they can't come near what we saw yesterday. I mean, but it's not the chips, it's the thought that comes with it. Instead of talking about training and inference, it's thought. Okay, this produces thought. This is an AI factory. Advanced Micro does not have an AI factory. As much as you know, I think the Lisa Su's great, and her stock's been unbelievable. AI, just think of it like a factory of thought, okay? It's not a chip. It's a factory of thought.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, all right. You want to talk a little Disney as we get closer and closer to the big vote? The proxy fight, obviously, two seats, Nelson Peltz seeking. The news this morning is that they've got support from, perhaps not unexpected, George Lucas supporting Bob Iger. Of course, sold Lucas to the company back in 2012. It was half cash, half stock. He got some 37 million shares. Not sure how many he continues to hold, but would make him one of the larger shareholders if he's anywhere near still that level, Jim. A larger, in fact, than Ike Perlmutter, with his some 25 million that are really the vast majority of the Trian shares that are being voted here and that they are, claiming as their overall $3.5 billion investment in the company.
Well, what's the stock done since Nelson has decided that Bob Iger's not doing a great job?
Well, it depends when you measure it from.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
That's fair. And yeah. As does Trian's performance. We had Jeff Sonnenfeld on yesterday. He talks about Nelson being a net destroyer. I'm sorry, not going there. I just think that's just wrong to say, because you have to talk about what he does in the boardroom and whether he helps in the boardroom. And that's why I thought that the Jim Stewart piece was so good this week.
It was a very positive piece for Peltz, the Jim Stewart
piece in
the Times over the weekend.
And Jim Stewart's one of the most thoughtful journalists of our time. I think you might say he is the most thoughtful journalist of our time.
He's written some really good books, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Lucas told CNBC, creating magic is not for amateurs. When I sold Lucasfilm just over a decade ago, I was delighted to become a Disney shareholder because of my long-term time admiration for its iconic brand and Bob's leadership. And when he returned during a difficult time, he says, I was relieved. And no one knows Disney better.
Well, you know what? Wouldn't it be interesting if George Lucas has money with Trian? Wouldn't that be interesting to find out?
I guess. Why? Do you think he does?
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, they have. I have no idea. I don't know. We're getting closer. Yeah. All the big guns are coming out here, so to speak. Obviously, I had Jamie Dimon last week provide me that, he provided a quote in support of Bob Iger as well. He's not a shareholder,
Is he paid at all? Does Disney do any work with J.P. Morgan? Just checking.
Yes, we pointed that out many times, actually. I know you were away
enjoying
some relaxation, but yes, we did. Of course, they are defensive.
I didn't relax a single day. I was studying NVIDIA every day of my vacation.
It was rare for Dimon to come out in that fashion and support Iger in the way that he did. But, of course, you do have to point out that there was a relationship between the two. Every day is going to have something here. We'll keep watching it. All right. Yesterday, Apple and Alphabet were the big outperformers, Jim, on that story in Bloomberg that said that Gemini might be used in some fashion to power the AI or generative AI offering from Apple when we get it. Backing off a bit today, any further reflections on that story from you 24 hours later?
It's interesting. Yes, stock was up 3 at one point, ended up closing it at the low of the day. I think a lot of people feel that no matter what happens, Apple won't have it fast enough, good enough. You and I both know that Apple doesn't release anything before its time, so to speak, to quote late Orson Welles. I thought that Apple's Vision Pro got a real boost here yesterday, and yet people didn't talk about it. So I am going to go and talk about it with Jensen very early on, because I found a whole new use for the Vision Pro that I didn't realize, which is to be able to sell cars, sell homes, make people realize that you can put yourself in a car and put the Blue Ridge Mountains and what a sunset looks like while you're driving a car. And that is what Jensen can do for Apple. I think Apple needs that. I think people are searching for uses of the Vision Pro. This is a great one.
You are talking about driving a car. Come on, man. Think about everything you've talked about the future, and you're still talking about driving a car?
A technology vehicle. Hey, listen, have you ever gone a Lamborghini at 185 miles an hour on the streets of Modena? Like my wife did, 185 miles an hour on a regular street. Yes, I like cars.
I haven't actually. I did go in a Porsche once, 192.
Modena also is the capital of cheese.
Down on a freeway in Dallas, Texas. My friend Kyle Bass was driving that. Yeah, that was a little crazy. Yeah.
You know, we're on TV right now.
Yeah, so what?
So what? Yeah, we're on TV. We're...
You want to talk about the
Meanwhile,
Fed?
Meanwhile, stocks are doing things.
You want to talk about the Bank of Japan? Fed meeting begins today. Tomorrow, obviously, we get the press conference.
Right.
You always advise against the press conference, it seems. That's been your take for
a while
now.
Well, press conference is ridiculous because people raise hands, and it's like, could you please tell me when you're going to cut rates? And then the next guy says, hey, could you give me a sense of when you're going to cut rates? I mean, like, forget it.
It's like a conference call with all the analysts saying, well, my number is this. Could you give me the number? Because I really want to get my number right for my model. It's just the same thing. It's like, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what analysts do. That's what reporters do. That's why they should all be replaced by orange and green robots.
We don't get any other colors? We should only get to choose between orange and green?
Right now we just have orange and green. I will ask Jensen about more colors. I'll get everything straight, okay?
Yeah. How long are you going to get with
him, David? I'm not coming from the AMD conference, okay? This is not AMD. I'm not coming from... I'm here.
What is behind you? What is all that stuff?
There are hundreds of companies that are partnering with NVIDIA because that's what it's... NVIDIA is a provider of thought machines, and everybody wants to think, and they want to think smarter. Every company. Do you think Deloitte doesn't? They're behind me. There's Cisco. Over there is a Cirrascale. I'm not familiar with their work. But I do see many companies that want a partner, and that's what this is about. This is, in many ways, I'm going to use a very pedestrian term. It is a trade show.
Right.
It's a trade show. But it's the most important trade show in history.
Got it. Well, we're looking forward to the sit down. Wow, it's coming. It's getting close. Are you getting nervous?
Am I nervous?
Yeah.
I prepared for this all my life.
Your entire life has been one big preparation
from February
for the sit-down.
From February 10th, 1955 until now, this is what I prepared for. But this is a 20-year process. I'm going to be talking about two kinds of stacks. I'm going to be talking about the computer stack. And then, yes, I'm going to be talking about the stack from Denny's, which also has bananas, it has ice cream, and it also has two eggs and bacon. That's the stack we're talking about because, yes, Jensen worked at Denny's.
Get ready.
He washed dishes, which, by the way, is below being a busboy because I got demoted from busboy to dishes. So I know this. At the Block and Cleaver.
Okay.
By Mr. Fox.
Okay. All right.
I hated him.
Okay. Go get ready. You've got to get ready for your interview. Him. And then, obviously, there's going to be a lot more on Mad Money tonight. Jim, we'll see you in the next hour with your special guest, Mr. Jensen Huang. Before we head to break.
Okay, Orange Robot.
Yeah. All right. Only orange and green robots. Time for the bond report. Maybe you look at treasuries. We're talking 4.314 on the 10-year. 2-year still hanging in there at above 4.7%. We're right back. We're keeping an eye on shares of U.S. Steel. Up a bit today, but down nearly 17% since President Biden weighed in on Nippon Steel's deal to buy the company for $55 a share in cash. President saying it's vital that U.S. Steel remain domestically owned and operated. Competitor Cleveland-Cliffs, for its part, has said it would consider a bid for U.S. Steel's assets, or certainly some of them, if that deal with Nippon Steel were to fall by the wayside. Joining us now on the CNBC exclusive is Cleveland-Cliffs CEO Lorenzo Gonsalves. Lorenzo, good to have you. You've been a one-man wrecking crew in terms of kind of bringing the heat on this deal, especially given your relationship with the union versus Nippon Steel's. Why has it been so important to you to try to prevent this deal from actually happening?
Yeah, actually, good morning, Dave. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Actually, my position all along was very constructive. My offer was done in a way that was prepared to make things to go through smoothly. And that's why I started with the union, the USW. The USW has contractual rights, and I respect that. And that was one thing that U.S. Steel did not respect. And that's when the problems started. So at this point, it's just a matter of waiting. It's not if, it's
yeah, what
when.
Do you mean when you say that? It's not if, it's when. You don't believe there's any possibility that Nippon is going to be able to work a deal with the unions in its favor to be able to close its transaction?
I have full conviction that this deal between Nippon Steel and the union will never happen. We have an agreement with the USW, We have the right to bid on their behalf. We understand the successorship clause. That's something that clearly Nippon Steel has no clue about. And we are going to prevail. The President of the United States has already spoken. At this point, it's no longer the government will approve, the government will not approve. The government has already expressed their decision in terms of who should keep ownership of the assets. And it's not a company from Japan. Japan is not a friend. Japan in trade. Well,
Japan would see that pretty differently, Lorenzo, in terms of saying they're not a friend. I mean, it seems hard for some people to imagine that it could really be found to be a national security risk from a CFIUS review. And so how do you think this deal is going to fall apart then? Obviously, the president has indicated he wants the U.S. deal to be a domestically owned, but it's got to be through the CFIUS process, doesn't it? How are they found to be a national security threat?
CFIUS will do their work, and CFIUS will generate a report that will land on the desk of the President of the United States. And then the President can accept, reject, or modify the report. So basically, the President can do whatever the President wants to do. And Director Brainard of the National Economic Council expressed the opinion of the government, and the Japanese did not understand. Then the President of the United States himself spoke loud and clear. And apparently, Nippon Steel, that started with an embarrassment with M&A, wants to transform this thing in a diplomatic problem between the United States and Japan. So if that's the case, let's do it. Let's play.
Well, what influence have you had then on the Biden administration? Obviously, Dave McCall runs the United Steelworkers Union. We had him on yesterday. He clearly seems to have a strong influence on the president. Have you been behind that as well?
We have a very, very strong partnership with the USW. It's unusual, it's not common, and it's a new thing that I believe it's about time for investors to take notice. We can work with organized labor in a constructive way. We don't need to be fighting. We need to be working together. That's what middle class is about. That's what union jobs, good paying union middle class jobs are about. And the President of the United States is fully committed with this type of agenda. So
yeah.
That's what we have.
There are those who believe this has simply been your attempt to try to get Nippon Steel to agree to sell you the blast furnaces, take Big River, give you the assets you want, that you really you've waged this campaign largely to get them to the negotiating table, but they haven't been willing to do that. And then you've pulled the lever in terms of politically to try to get the Biden administration to come against the deal. Is that a fair perception?
It's not. It's not. It was the perception until the President of the United States, President Biden, spoke loud and clear that the ownership of the assets should stay with the United States. I would be able to do that until they, meaning the Japanese, provoked the U.S. government to react the way the President reacted. So at this point, different from the Japanese, I pay attention when the President of the United States speaks. So at this point, there's no more negotiated deal between Cleveland-Cliffs and Nippon Steel. Nippon Steel is out, and even the shareholders' vote will not do any good. It's like
having the Titanic. Well, they don't think they're out, Lorenzo. You know that. They think they still have a deal in place. They have a contract. They're probably going to get a positive shareholder vote in April. You seem to be saying something very different than what they would say, which is we still should be able to negotiate a deal with the unions, and why wouldn't the unions want to in some way? Versus just being left at U.S. Steel with no other company owning it.
The problem is that the Titanic has already hit the iceberg. So at this point, there's no point in pretending that the ship is still sailing. The ship is sinking. It's sinking slowly, and we are very patient. We are not going anywhere. We're going to wait until the deal is unraveled, and we'll pick up the pieces at the other side.
What does that mean, picking up the pieces on the other side?
Yeah, because U.S. Steel is an ongoing concern, no future. Because of the way they disrespected the USW, the way they treated the union as a third-class citizens, there's no situation that Nippon Steel doesn't buy, because Nippon Steel is not going to buy. And the U.S. Steel continues as an ongoing concern. So someone is going to be at the other side, and I bet you bet I will be there, and I will be able to.
Well, you were there. You were there during the process as well. You bid $54 a share in cash and stock, obviously not far from what was the winning bid. But one of the concerns, Lorenzo, was the antitrust concern, the fact that the combined company, Cliffs and U.S. Steel, would have 95% of iron ore production in the U.S., 100% of blast furnace production, among other antitrust issues. How do you get people comfortable with the antitrust risk that clearly made U.S. Steel uncomfortable?
Yeah, U.S. Steel got these excuses in order to be able to alienate the union. That's what happened. At the end of the day, automotive is competitive with mini mills, is competitive with electric arc furnaces. United States Steel themselves built Big River to produce automotive, to compete against us. Nucor is building a plant in West Virginia to produce automotive. Steel Dynamics just built a plant in Sinton, Texas to produce automotive. And we have to compete against imports, and we have to compete against other materials like aluminum. So we will handle that when the time is right with the DOJ, and we have a plan, and these things are easily resolved when you know what you are doing.
Would you be willing to give shareholders hell or high water protection, you know, against the antitrust risk?
I'm not going to negotiate with you, Dave, but I know what it takes to get the deal done, and we're going to get the deal done.
You're going to get the deal done. Again,
yes,
to come back to it, right now they have a contract to get bought for $55 a share in cash. And even though the president has said what he has said, nothing's changing that. I mean, come back to this question of what gives you the confidence that this deal is a fail.
At the very least, the clock is unforgiving. And coming June of 2025, and there's no deal, the deal expires. Another thing that can happen, if instead of having President Biden, we have President Trump, he gave me personal assurance that he will block the deal at the very beginning, if not on day one, for sure, at the very beginning of his tenure.
Former President Trump told you he would block any deal as well?
Yes.
He said that to you? Have you spoken to President Biden? Has he given you the same assurance?
I have not, but my partner, Dave McCall, is in direct contact with the White House, and we have assurance from the Biden administration as well.
Lorenzo, to be continued, but certainly appreciate your taking time with us and helping explain your side of the story. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate having me.
You're welcome. Lorenzo Goncalves, CEO, of Cleveland Cliffs.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.